Stay tuned as we talk about an astonishing prophetic portrait in the Old Testament that points to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, in the New Testament. Today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. This is Messianic Perspectives, where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive messianic point of view. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick, our Bible teacher, is talking about an amazing prophetic picture of Yeshua HaMashiach in the Old Testament. The title of this series is Joseph, a Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of our program. It's good to have you with us again today, listening friend, as we continue our discussion of Joseph as a prophetic portrait of the Messiah. And we said there are at least 17 specific parallels between Yosef and Yeshua, that is, between Joseph and Jesus. That is, there are 17 prophetic links in the life of Joseph that point prophetically to Jesus as the Messiah. We said the first parallel was that Joseph and Jesus were both given two names. The second parallel was that Joseph and Jesus were both loved by their fathers. Number three was that they were both shepherds of their father's sheep. And number four was that they were both sent by their fathers to their brothers, and with the same result. Now, today we come to point number five, and that is that both Joseph and Jesus had personal robes that were taken from them. Genesis 37:23 says, "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren," that's when he went to Shechem to find his brethren, "that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him." So they stripped Joseph's coat right off of his back. That was the coat of many colors that Jacob had given him. Literally, it's kenotet hapasim, or robe of many widths. It has to do with its size. It was a colorful, ornate garment that extended down to the wrists and to the ankles. In other words, it was a full-length robe. And a robe like this was usually worn only on special occasions, like a man today might wear a tuxedo. It was not a working man's garment. And evidently, Joseph wore his everywhere he went. It was like he was royalty. And in fact, that is why Jacob gave it to him. It was a mark of distinction, a mark of favoritism. It set Joseph apart from his 11 brothers. I mean, you could have lined up those 12 brothers, and even a stranger could look at the lineup and pick out Joseph, because he was special. And that's the way his dad wanted it. But what poor old dad may not have realized was that there was some real resentment building up in those brothers. They had had just about enough of Joseph and his dreams. But this was really more than just favoritism on the part of Jacob. Jacob was going out of his way to make a point. And that point was that he considered the firstborn son of Rachel, Rachel, to be his firstborn son. In other words, the rights of the firstborn would not go to Reuben, who was really born first, but to Joseph. You see, Reuben's mother was Leah. Joseph's mother was Rachel. That was the difference, because Rachel was really Jacob's first love. She was the one he wanted. He was tricked by Laban into marrying Leah, remember? But he was not going to be tricked into giving the blessing of the firstborn to the son of Leah. That honor would go to the son of Rachel. And so that is why Jacob went out of his way to mark Joseph as the preeminent son. And by placing upon him that coat of many colors, it was like he was saying to the whole world, "This is the son that will inherit the blessing of the firstborn." That is what Jacob was trying to do. But in the process, he drove a wedge between Joseph and his 11 brothers. So Joseph had a personal robe that was taken from him. Now watch this. Here's the parallel. The Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would also have a garment taken from him. King David in Psalm 22:18 says, "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." And we find the fulfillment in the New Testament. Here's what it says in the Gospel according to John, chapter 19, beginning in verse 23. It says, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout." Verse 24. "They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be." And then John makes this notation, explaining why this happened, for the benefit of readers who may not have been Jewish and may not have been familiar with the Messianic prophecies. He says these things happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did." So just like Joseph, Jesus also had a personal robe that was taken from him. But there's something else here, because Jesus gave up much more than just a physical robe. He also gave up his robe of glory, the garment of Godhood. If you're following along, look with me at Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Here's what it says. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation," or literally emptied himself, "and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." That's the mystery of the incarnation, the great enigma of how an infinite God could condescend and take upon himself the form of a finite man. The rabbis say it's impossible. It could never happen. But the New Testament says it did happen. And then it says in verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. This is what theologians respectfully call the kenosis. It comes from the Greek word that's used there where it says he made himself of no reputation. Literally, it says he emptied himself. In other words, for 33 brief earth years, the king of the universe, Melech Ha'olam, the king of the universe, set aside his heavenly glory and took upon himself the form of a man. And notice, it doesn't say he set aside his deity, because he didn't. It says here that he didn't have to grasp for or aspire to equality with God. So his divine nature was intact. What he laid aside was not his divine nature, but rather his divine glory. The glory he said in John 17 he had with the Father even before the world existed. So our blessed Messiah laid aside his royal garb of divine glory so he could condescend and so he could assume the likeness of finite humanity. Now, why did the King of Heaven step out of eternity and enter this fallen world at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago? Why? He came for one reason: to die. As long as he remained in all of his glory, enthroned in heaven, he could not die. He could do anything else he wanted to do. He could speak worlds into existence. He could command armies of mighty angels. He could take his little finger and flick a planet from one end of the universe to another. There was nothing beyond his power except for one thing. He could not die. So he did the impossible. He entered the body of a Jewish woman named Miriam, or Mary. The Bible says she was overshadowed by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and the Messiah was conceived in her womb. It's no wonder the devil hates the doctrine of the virgin birth, because that was his Waterloo. This is what he wasn't counting on. He thought he had God backed into a corner. Mankind was lost, and there was no one qualified to be the Redeemer. Satan knew God's God's justice had to be satisfied, and he knew it would require the shedding of innocent blood. But there was no innocent blood. That is, there was no innocent blood until that baby was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. So that baby that was born in Bethlehem was born for one reason, to die. He was born to die. Jesus himself said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And so he died. But his death was only temporary. Now there's an oxymoron for you. Temporary death. Do you realize our Lord was the only person in the history of the world to borrow a tomb? I mean, you can borrow a lot of things. You might ask me if you can borrow my car, or you might want to borrow my tools or borrow a book. But who borrows a grave? The answer is only one person, Jesus. He borrowed a tomb because he only needed it for 3 days. On the third day, he emerged as our victorious, glorified, risen Savior. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul concludes his classic discussion of the resurrection with these words of comfort and assurance. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 57. You see, we are victorious over death because he was victorious over death. His resurrection guarantees our resurrection. He was the first fruits, and we will come after him. So Joseph and Jesus both had a personal robe that was taken from them. That's point number 4. Next time, we'll start with point number 5. I hope you'll plan to be here. It's been good, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I'll see you next time. Until then, this is your friend, Gary Hedrick, saying God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. You've been listening to Messianic Perspectives, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Gary Hedrick and CJF Ministries. If you've enjoyed today's program, you'll be glad to know that we've put all this information together on CD or cassette. The title is Joseph, A Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah, and it's available for your gift of just $6 to this ministry. Just visit our online store at messianicspecialties.com. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397.
Shalom, this is Gideon Levitam. I would like to invite you this October to join us on the Book of Revelation Prophecy Tour. It will include the 7 churches, as well as the Isle of Patmos. Would you please call 1-800-926-5397, or please visit us online at cjfm.org/tours. We hope and pray that you can join us. This is Gideon Levitam saying Shalom, Shalom.
And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you? As Dr. Gary Hedrick continues, Joseph, A Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.